Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So we can just patiently fail, patiently not do what God wants us to do, because He knows my weaknesses. And so we can just keep walking and meandering in our weaknesses, growing at our speed, not God's speed, our speed. That's religion. It reforms you outwardly. It'll change the way you behave, especially in your religious circle, in those religious places. We're going on an outreach today. Well, I'm going to be more evangelistic than I've ever been before. Do you ever share the gospel when you're not on the outreach? Well, no. Why would I? That's what outreaches are for.
Is your walk with the Lord more religious than it is relational? We learn in today's message from Pastor Troy that religion is an outward reformation, not necessarily an inward one. Being religious changes how you act when going from one occasion or group of people to the next. We learn from studying Scripture that Jesus wasn't very interested in the outward appearance of people. Instead, He looked at the heart. Let us strive to be people transformed not only in outward actions, but from within. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 7 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
John chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. Talk about clearing up some confusion, because we've been talking over the past weeks about confusion, how everyone was confused about Jesus, what He came to do, what did He spend His time doing, what was important to Him, what were His priorities, what is He going to ultimately do? They were confused about all of these things. And so we want to learn how to clear up confusion, because the world, not forget the world, they are confused, but even people in churches can be a little confusing. And we talked about some of them. They were religious people, religious leaders who had some weird ideas about the Messiah, the Lord. So to avoid some confusion and a contradiction in our life, I think this is a good message to take in. By and large, people often strive for independence. It's something we sort of ingrain into our children, and we have ingrained, I don't know where it came from. It didn't come from the Bible. We were to be set free from sin, but not free from mom and dad, and free from the government, and free from this, and free from that. But we sort of drive into them, independence. 18 years old for us is some magic age. Boom, get out. You got to be independent. But it's not the Bible that teaches us that. That's our culture that has caused us to buy into this 18 is some magic age, or 21 is some magic age. But it's not. So, we have a culture where most are striving for independence. They hate to be told what to do. They hate to depend on someone else. They like to get settled into their own routine. Some see mom and dad's routines, but they go, I don't want to do mom. I'm going to do my own thing. And there's just this spirit of independence, the wrong kind of independence. Not maturity and being able to take care of yourself, but I don't want to do what you said. I want to do what I want. Well, I think that's one of the things that makes religion so appealing. Because so many have a moral compass in there. They want something. They know that they need something. But what we do is we look for a place that preaches the way we think they ought to preach. Say what we think they ought to do. Do it the way we think they ought to do it. And when we find it, none are perfect. I mean, I'm the standard of perfection. They can't be me. So I know they don't do like me. So since it all revolves around me, yeah, they don't do it perfect, but that's okay. Give grace to them. And so we try to find a place where we can connect, fit in, and be us, and do it our way. So when we find a place, they speak some things, go, oh man, I need some of that. But we go to another place, go, I don't want any of that. We find the place where we feel like they got something for us, we got something for them. It's fair. And now I can settle in and get into my routine. They've told me what I should do, what the expectations are. I've told them what I'm not going to do and who I am. And now we can walk forward in our religion. And we negotiate our religion like we negotiate our marriages, like we negotiate our friendships, like we negotiate everything else, so that we can continue to be us, they can be them, and we can kind of walk together with as little change as we have to make. And religion allows for that. Religion allows for that because once you understand the system, you go, hey, I'm already fitting into this system. I'm in. Or there are others who they like to be told, I don't know what I should do with my life. Well, I'll tell you what you should do with your life. You got to change this. You got to do this. You got to dress this way. Put your hair in a bun. You know, all this other stuff. Okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Yes, sir. And there are others who like to follow rules, orders, laws, all of that, and it fits them. Different churches or religions for everyone. But religion, in religion, it doesn't matter how much you complain. In religion, it doesn't matter how uninto it your heart might be. As long as you check the boxes, as long as you did it, it doesn't matter where your heart is in it, as long as you do it. That's religion. It's outward. No one's watching over your shoulder. It's just you and God and the rules you've agreed upon. And it's at your own pace. So there's still so much of us in it. It's at my pace. God knows I need to grow. He knows. He knows. He's got my number. You don't need to tell me. And so we can just patiently fail. Patiently not do what God wants us to do. Because He knows. He knows my weaknesses. And so we can just keep walking and meandering in our weaknesses, growing at our speed. Not God's speed, our speed. That's religion. It reforms you outwardly. It'll change the way you behave, especially in your religious circle and those religious places. We're going on an outreach today. Well, I'm going to be more evangelistic than I've ever been before. Do you ever share the gospel when you're not on the outreach? Well, no. Why would I? That's what outreaches are for. And so on the outreach, man, we're an outreacher. At church, we're a church person. Everyone's a brother and sister. But as soon as we walk to the car, did you see that person? That person was raising their hand. They shouldn't be raising their hand. They're hypocrites over there. And then on our way to the car, we're less of the church person. And it's not who we really are. See, religion reforms us outwardly. It tells us how we need to behave around who. It gives us guidelines for that. But then Jesus came onto the scene. And he came to the religious. And he said things like, if you think it in your heart, you're guilty of it. If it's welling up in your heart, you're guilty. If you're angry in your heart, it's like murder. It's the seed of murder. It's the same thing. It's just the seedling of the same thing. If you're lusting after someone in your heart, yeah, you didn't do anything. Yeah, you're trying not to be caught. Worshiping the Lord. Yeah, you're trying not to get caught. However, it's in your heart, and you're already guilty of it. You're guilty. Because Jesus, when he came, he seemed to care more about what was going on in our heart than the activities we were busy about. Even religious activities. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he does not come in to reform us. Like, let me move this, let me switch this, let me change this. He comes in to transform us. We are different. It's that new creation in Christ that you become. It's not that you have to all of a sudden move this over here, change this furniture. But all of a sudden, because he's in there, you go into a situation where you would react. Or you go into a situation where you always felt comfortable before. And the Holy Spirit is like, bing, this isn't good. We shouldn't be here. And you're thinking, who said that? Wait a minute, I've never thought that before. What's going on? I was always comfortable here. But you're a new creation in Christ. Now, the old nature is still there. That's why we still make mistakes. That's why we still do certain things. That's why we end up in the situation where the Holy Spirit's raising the flag. Sin! Sin! Hoping the sail will kind of pull us away and we've got some decisions to make. Decisions that we were never aware of before. Never saw it as wrong before. I've heard that from so many individuals as they start to grow in the Lord and they'll come and, I know it's not wrong. I know it's not wrong. I've always tried, and it was okay to do it, but for some reason, someone said something once, and now I feel all weird about it. Like, well, it could be that that's the Lord. But it's always been okay. You know, that's the thing about following the Lord. We are so sinful, and He is so patient and gracious that He doesn't list all of our sin all at once. So He deals with them one at a time. And so now that this one may be coming up, maybe it is something God's putting His finger on. And then you get the response, no. Because the next thing is always the hardest thing. It's like, I just overcame something, man. I mean, I'm waking up now on time. I'm praying to the Lord. And now this. But that is part of what the Holy Spirit does in our life. I'm right and my spouse is wrong. And it's funny, both of them think that. But it doesn't matter who's right and wrong now, because you can know I was wrong. But going and apologizing then, in the moment, no. Not right now. Let them stew on it. Let them think about it, just like I had to. Don't go in there humbly and go, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. Let's put an end to this. When you can, right? You can, but we don't want to. But the Holy Spirit prompts us in those moments. You're wrong, not in all of it, but you're wrong. And in your part, I want you to go apologize. And we want the other person to do it, or we want it to be equal. And oh, help us if we go, you know, I'm sorry. We play in our mind, it's going to go perfect. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry too. Let's just love the Lord and walk forward. But it doesn't always work that way. I'm so sorry. And you should be. Come on now. You don't know how weak I am. Man. I'm trying to follow the Lord. And you got to run off and go, Lord, that's not exactly how I thought it was going to go. I thought I was obeying you. And we learn.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Well, listen. The Holy Spirit comes in and transforms us. We're not playing religion. This isn't about religion. Today we see a clash between Jesus and the religious leaders over the nature of Jesus' teaching, because it doesn't align very well with their religion, their belief system, their doctrines, what they believe, hold to. And Jesus is going to contrast the law with the heart of the law. A relationship with God was never intended to be about rules, but it was intended to help us consider. To consider first God above all else, anyone else. You name them, God first. And then to consider others, generally others, more than ourselves. Am I being appreciative? Am I being helpful to my supervisor or my boss? Am I being loving and kind to my spouse? Am I being a good example to my children of putting God first? Am I doing the right things? We're considering others as it pertains to godliness. So we're to consider the Lord first and then others. That's why when Jesus was asked what the greatest command was, he said, Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, when you live by the law, just give me the law. Just tell me, just give me the law. Here's what our sinful nature does. When someone gives us the laws, the rules to follow, you know what our sinful nature does? We look for the loopholes. It's exactly what we do. It's in our court system. It's rampant in our court system. Where's the loophole? Hey, never mind that he's guilty. I, as a defense attorney, I've got a record here, man. And I've got to find. So they got the evidence the wrong way. It has to be dismissed and cannot be used. I mean, it does prove that we're guilty. However, it was wrongly acquired. Loophole. And so we as sinners, we look for the loopholes. So that's why God never intended for us to operate by laws. Even Jesus, the scripture says, if we love each other, we don't need the law. It's because of our lack of love and our love for ourselves that we need laws to govern us. But he said, there is no need for the law if you love each other, if you live by faith and trust him. If you live according to love as defined by the Lord, we won't try to look for the loopholes. So with all the confusion about Jesus and the overemphasis on religion, Jesus takes some time to clear up the confusion, giving us ideas on how we can avoid confusion ourselves. Verse 14 says, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. The first way that we're going to clear up any confusion we might have is to understand that doctrine is essential. Doctrine. Some hate that word. It's like, I'm studying a law book. But doctrine is essential. It's critical. The first thing that Jesus does is he teaches. He teaches the people. And when they question his message, he speaks about doctrine. Well, the doctrine that I share is not mine, but from him who sent me. You know, Jesus was a teacher. He was known as a teacher. The word taught in verse 15 means to instruct with information. Now, I know that a lot of us, we don't like to read manuals. In fact, so many hate to read manuals that they've stopped putting manuals in a lot of things. They just say, hey, if you need your manual, go to this website. Because they're tired of printing it for a bunch of people who aren't going to read them. The only time we want to go to the manual is when something breaks. Chicka, 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 chicka. Let me see if there's something in there for that. Chicka, chicka. It's making a chicka, chicka. Oh, there is. It's chicka, chicka right there. And so we go to the manual and we find out what to do with chicka, chicka. So we can fix it. Well, our lives have a lot of chukka, chukka, chukka in them. A lot of rough spots. And we have a manual. And it's not a manual that's supposed to be dove into after all the squeaking and grinding and noise making. It's supposed to be like a water that cleanses, like a lubricant that helps us to live one with another without all of the problems and the overheating. You know, it costs a lot less to maintain your vehicle than to fix it. They say it costs a lot less to get your regular oil change. I mean, thousands upon thousands of dollars less to get your regular oil change than to neglect it, think you're saving $50 here and there, and then have to overhaul the engine and lose years of life on the engine. If it's just simple maintenance. Today's cars, many of them will go for a long time if you just maintain them. The same thing for our life. We will go a long time, a long way, very well, if we just maintain them with the Word of God. And doctrine is important. It says of the early church that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. We want to be like the early church. Then get in the Bible. Because they were into the doctrine. Who is Jesus? What does this mean? Oh, if I give up my life, I will gain much more in heaven. And they were willing to. So doctrine is important. The Bible is our manual for living life and living life with a kingdom focus. And some will say, well, I just don't understand. I read it, I don't get it all. And so I don't read the Bible. I read books about the Bible. I go to studies where they can tell me about the Bible. I'm going to tell you, when I grew the most in my understanding of the scriptures was not when I got books about the Bible or when I attended revelation studies or other studies about the Bible. It was when I read the Bible myself. I didn't understand a lot of it, but I kept reading. And then a name would click. And then on my own, with the Spirit of God as my teacher, I began to connect dots, see things. God was speaking to me, not guided by someone's study system or anything else, but by the Holy Spirit of God. And I would say that if you're not reading your Bible consistently, all the way through, consistently, and then again, if you don't have that going on, you don't need any extra studies. That's enough. That should be first. Because God said, I will give you my Holy Spirit, and he will teach you. But as we read, people will say, I don't understand so many things. That's okay, join the club. There's lots of stuff we don't get. I also see things and I go, Lord, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know there's just so much depth to this. But here's the thing the Lord always seems to say. It's okay that you don't understand everything. But what you do understand, what are you doing with it? Are you living it? Are you applying it? Are you learning to work it into your life? You don't need 10,000 more things. What about the one thing you do understand that you keep saying, well, the Lord knows my weaknesses. Yeah, I do. Let's fix it. Are you working the one thing that you do understand into your life? You don't need 1,500 other things. You know, there are some readers, they never finish a book. They start it, oh, this is a great book. Oh, that book too? Let me start reading that book. And they read all these books. Like people who will go to a Revelation study. Oh, there's this outrage. Oh, there's this. And they're all over, but they're not really focused on what God wants for them. If you're going to focus on anything, let the Bible be your focus. No study system, no study method, no little book to follow, none of that. First, the Bible. It's pure. It has no one else's opinions written into it. And the Holy Spirit of God can speak to you. You know what's sad is I believe that many churches today, our church culture, has turned from sound doctrine to religion or religious experience. I believe that is a big movement. Doctrine has become a bad word to fight over. We don't want that. Whether it's ambiance, they're going, hey, here's how we get the ambiance. They need the ambiance. The people will go, oh, the Lord was there, ambiance. Or others need rules. Others like the rules, so crack that whip. And then others, well, let's make it a social club. In fact, let's make it a coffee shop experience. We'll do away with the pulpit. Get rid of the pulpit. Man, that makes someone feel like I'm an authority or something. It's in the way. And don't be a teacher. You're not a teacher. That puts you above them. How about this? You're not teaching. You're not preaching. Bad words, too much authority. No one wants to be under authority, so call it a talk.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your